This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new week of broadcast on the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us not only today, but every day this week as we continue our tradition of bringing you beautiful Christian music and inspiring preaching and teaching from the Word of God as preached by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now today and all of this week, Monday through Friday, we are continuing with our very inspiring series on Bible doctrine. And of course, Dr. Green has broken this down into subtopics, and we have been studying holiness, and this will continue through Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we'll begin a new subtopic on grace. So stay tuned for that. Right now, let's hear on Jordan's Stormy Banks, and then the message.
I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. All o'er those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. No chilling winds nor poisonous breath can reach that helpful shore. Sickness, sorrow, pain, and death are felt and feared no more. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Have your Bibles open after I pray. We'll continue studying Bible doctrine. We are studying holiness. Lead us today, O Lord God, as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday, I gave the message that was really the introduction of the study of holiness. I gave you three words, three Greek words used in the New Testament, translated holiness. Now, today I'm going to give you the definition of holiness, and I quote from Webster's Dictionary. To be made spiritually whole, unimpaired innocence, or proved virtue, godly. Now, that's the definition of holy. Spiritually whole, unimpaired innocence, or proved virtue, godly. Now then, Here is the definition of righteous. It means to be free from wrong or to be free from sin. Now listen, righteous, the definition of the word righteous, what does it mean? To be free from wrong and to be free from sin. Holy, spiritually whole, unimpaired, innocent, or proved virtue, or godly. So you see, the two words have much in common, and yet they are not identical. Now, we are, in Christ Jesus, righteous. Now, where do I get that? Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and then sanctification and redemption. Now, in Romans 4, we read that Abraham believed God, and God imputed righteousness. God counted his faith righteousness. Now, I have said this so many times on the radio, I almost hesitate to say it again, and yet I must. You cannot attain righteousness but one way, only one. You cannot attain righteousness through good living. No. You may be the best man in your community from the outward appearance. You may not curse. You may not lie. You may not gamble. You may not drink. You may be just as pure to the human eye as the rose or the morning dew. But my friend, that does not mean you are righteous. God imputes righteousness. The only way for anyone to obtain or become a recipient of righteousness is for God to impute righteousness. And the only way that righteousness can become ours is by faith. Abraham believed God. Now, God justifies the ungodly by faith. Christ is our justification. And he was set forth. He came to this world to lay his life down that God might be just and yet justify the ungodly. Now, when the ungodly man believes on Jesus, God justifies that man. God imputes righteousness, and the individual is created in Christ, a new creation, and the new creation is holy. Now, I read again Ephesians 4:24, and I do hope that some of you, dear people, will not turn the radio off and say, I'm not going to listen to that false prophet. I'm not a false prophet. I beg your pardon. I am not a false prophet. I'm not preaching for some denomination. I am not preaching for some church or ministry. I'm preaching for Jesus and have been for 36 years, almost 37 years. Now, don't turn the radio off and say Oliver Green is a false prophet. I am not a false prophet. I'm going to help some of you people who've been trying for years to live a holy life, and up to this point you have failed miserably, and you have gotten very little peace and satisfaction out of your religion. Now, does the Bible teach that men can be holy? How do we come into possession of this holiness? How do we keep this holiness? And so on. I read again Ephesians 4:24. I read it yesterday. I read it again. And that ye put on the new man. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. Created in righteousness and true. T-R-U-E. True holiness. Now, if there were not a false holiness, then the Holy Spirit would not refer to true holiness. There is true holiness, and there is false holiness. Now, one more time, I read this verse, and then we go on. I want you to get it in your mind. Get it in your mind before we move. And that you put on the new man, the new man. God does not repair. God does not repair. God creates a new man. Put on the new man, now listen, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now listen to these words. For by grace are you saved through faith. You believe that, don't you? Ephesians 2:8, one of the most beloved verses, I guess, in the Bible. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now that's Ephesians 2:8 and 9. All right. But that's not the end of the chapter. There is a verse 10. Listen. For we are his workmanship. We are the product of his work, not ours. There is not one work you can work to redeem your soul, to help redeem your soul, or to make your soul any more fully redeemed. There is not one work you can do. You are redeemed by the grace of God, and redeeming grace is yours by faith. And faith to receive grace comes by hearing, not by doing. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You do not work for faith. You do not work up faith. You do not live faith. You do not buy faith, merit faith. You have faith when you hear the word of God. Now listen very carefully. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ. Created in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Yes, Christians walk in good works. Christians, true Christians, do good works. Now, that is the result of the holiness imputed, imparted, when you exercise faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as we studied sanctification, and we studied sanctification for several broadcasts, I said we are sanctified the moment we believe on Jesus, and we are. That's positionally. We are taken out of the family of the devil, and we're placed in the family of God. That's sanctification positionally. We are set apart for God. Now, we are sanctified progressively as we grow in grace, as we feed upon the Word of God and study the Word of God and walk in the light. Now, righteousness, sanctification, and holiness have much in common. We are made holy the split second we're born again. And you're born again in a split second. It doesn't take God a second to save you. It may take you a second to ask him to come into your heart. It may take you 2 or 3, 4, 5, or 10 seconds, or you may pray a moment and you may say, O Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins, cleanse me, save me, and so on. It may take you a few seconds to invite Jesus into your heart, but it doesn't take God even a second to born you, to redeem you, to create you in Christ Jesus. Now listen very carefully, and I want you to get this, and please, please, do not miss it. Nicodemus said, I want to be born again. Jesus said, that which is born of spirit is spirit. You're asking how you may enter the second time into your mother's womb and be born. Nicodemus, I'm not talking about a flesh birth. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. That which is born of spirit is spirit. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Now, we are created in Christ. And the split second that you believe on Jesus, you are made holy. Because you are a son of God, and a son of God could not be anything but holy. You can't be a son of God and not be holy. Now wait, I said a moment ago, and you heard me, I said that holiness is more. Or may I say that holiness goes further and means not just a state of being holy or made or sanctified. It doesn't mean just being holy from the standpoint of the state of holiness. Now, sanctification means more than just positionally sanctified. When you are saved, you're sanctified positionally. And as you feed on the sincere milk, and then the bread, and then the meat, and as you win souls, and as you grow, you are sanctified progressively. you become stronger and more, you become more useful, and you become a greater vessel, and so on. Now, holiness means more than just a state of being holy. It produces character that testifies to true holiness. Holiness, the state of holiness, produces character that testifies that you are holy. I want you to look at 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, I could quote it, but I'm turning to it. I'm going to read it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we read these words in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature. All right. Now there's a comma there. There's a comma there. Through the promises of God, we are partakers of divine nature. Not through works. No, not through works. But through the eternal covenant, the perpetual covenant, and the eternal promise, and the salvation that was perfected before God ever created this universe, and that Jesus was foreordained to die that we might have this great salvation. Now that's in 1 Peter 1:18 and following, all right? Whereby are given unto us exceeding. Let me read the preceding verse. You know, I try to rush, and I shouldn't ever do that. I'll read all the verses, beginning with verse 1, 2 Peter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the Spirit, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. Now remember, the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called you, or called us rather, to glory and virtue. You see, through the divine power hath given unto us all things. God's divine power makes possible all spiritual blessings. Now, verse 4, whereby, that is, through the power of God, are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these, by the promises, not by your good works, not by your ability, not by your doing or not doing, but by the promises of God, by these, ye might be partakers of divine nature. And I said there's a comma there. Now that is holiness from the standpoint of the state of holiness. Or we might say, positionally, you're holy. As I said, you're sanctified positionally. The state of holiness is becomes effective when we receive Jesus and we are partakers of divine nature. I'm not trying to indoctrinate you. I'm just trying to show you the precious, infallible Word of God. Now, here it is, and listen. Partakers of divine nature, comma, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, we escape the corruption of the world because or by means of the power that saves us. We are kept by the power of God. Now, that's in 1 Peter, and I didn't intend to read that, but I'm right here at it, so why not? Listen to this. In 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. We are begotten of God. James 1:18, of his own will, beget he us with the word of truth. We are begotten of God. Now watch this. To a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus, not by works, but by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we are begotten to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept. Reserved for you who are kept. How are we kept? kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed last time. Kept by the power of God through faith. Kept by the power of God. Not your power, the power that saves keeps. The power that saves keeps. We are delivered from corruption through the power of God that saves us. We are made holy. We are made holy when we believe. We are kept holy by trusting. Trust and obey. No other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then, Brother Green, you're preaching sinless perfection today, aren't you? No, I'm preaching Bible holiness. That which is born of God doth not commit sin. His seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, that's 1 John chapter 3. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. When God borns you, God borns the spirit. The only reason your flesh acts differently is because your spirit is a new creation. If you're born again, you are a new creation in Christ. Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your love, on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, now that's why I'm holy, that's why I live holy, it is no longer I, but Christ that liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, the life lived in the flesh, is by faith, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Galatians 2:20, Colossians 1:27. When Christ, who is our life, this is Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When Christ appears, every born-again believer will appear with him, because we are in him. We are in him, and we are hid with Christ in God. Colossians 1:27, Colossians 3:3. Father, may this be the day when many will surrender all to Jesus, soul, spirit, and body, redeem the lost, and may believers be consecrated to God wholly. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, and as we approach the end of the program today, I would like to spend the last few minutes telling you about our new gift offer for this week, Gift Offer V, V as in victory. Now, this offer contains a CD series of messages on a very small book of the Bible, as well as a book about that same book of the Bible, and a book by my mother. All three items are in Gift Offer V, and it's available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour Ministry in the amount of $30 or more. There's a lot of material in this great offer. Now, if you can send $35, $40, $50, or even more, I urge you to do so. Your donations are what keeps the Gospel Hour on the air. We are not underwritten. We don't have any big grants from anyone. We depend on your donations day in and day out. So I hope you will want to take advantage of this great offer. So if you can simply ask for Gift Offer V and send a donation of $30 or more, I'm going to send you first a series of messages by my dad, preached on the radio, the verse-by-verse study of the book of James. Now, there are 26 sermons in this collection, and we have put them on 9 compact discs in a very nice binder and a holder for you to keep them clean and safe between listenings. Then we have a book entitled James, Servant of God. Now, this is a book that started out a small paperback book by my father. Then my mother studied a lot of his writings and expanded that book into this hardback book that we have for you as a very, very good companion study to the radio messages on James. So you're getting both of these, and it will be a very, very good study of James, a very important book of the Bible. Finally, we have Bible Questions Asked Most, Volume 1, by my mother. 226 questions that people have sent in to the ministry over the years, and of course many questions are repeated, and these are some of the most asked questions. The book is a perfect bound book, 206 pages long. It has a subject index as well as a scripture reference index. So I know you will learn much from this book. So to get the CDs and both books, just ask for Offer V and send your gift of at least $30. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.